Where are you going? It's a question we need to ask each other from time to time. Where are we going? And I believe that if we don't ask ourselves this question, sometimes we may get lost and go in a way that we don't really want to. Others have asked us that, a similar question. Remember back in high school when you had, what did they call when you went for your career, they had counselors. And they asked you, what do you want to do? Where are you going? And what education do you need? Okay. Some of us have it all figured out. Certainly wasn't me. As to what occupation we will strive for, are just starting their adult lives, and some of them won't have a clear answer, but have an idea of where they're going and which way their lives may go. And then all of a sudden comes life. And everything that is so brilliantly planned out, or not, and we make a 90-degree change because of life. And all our planning kind of goes downhill. And that's the way life is. Sometimes it hits us on the head, like an illness we weren't expecting, or an accident, or how about some good news that we weren't expecting? Well, that's life. And when life happens, we have to reboot, in modern language, and change directions to go along with life. But the point I want to make isn't so much about life and what it does to us, but what we are doing, or what we are going to do about life when it happens. There's a story in Luke that illustrates the path we are going to go onto if we don't watch what direction we will allow. Luke 16:19-31, and we all know this story. This is a very familiar story. It's about Lazarus and the rich man. And I'll read it all. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linens and who lived each day in luxury. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. And as Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores." Why was the poor man there? Obviously, he wanted money. Where else could you go to get a lot of money except at the gate of a rich man? All his rich friends would come and see him, or he would go out. It was a good place to beg, he thought. But apparently it wasn't. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abram at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. The rich man shouted, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames." But Abram said to him, "Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." Then the rich man said, "Please, Father Abram, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them that they don't end up here." But Abram said, "Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote." And the rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. It's quite a story when you think about it. And you have to back up a bit to really realize what was going on here, because the Pharisees was the person that, or the people that Jesus was talking to. As we read in Luke 16, verse 14, the Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him. So he was giving them an illustration here of the love of money and what you do with it and where you end up. So in this story that Jesus related was mainly directed to the Pharisaic crowd. It was to show that how we live here on earth and how we use our God-given wealth and talents will very much determine where we end up in the afterlife for eternity. Eternity for each and every one of us starts today. Not when we die. What we do here will determine where we end up for eternity. And I think we have to remember that. The Pharisees loved their wealth, as is stated in Luke 16, 14. Along with wealth usually comes power and high standing, especially in the worldly eyes. The problem here wasn't that the rich man was rich. The problem was how he was using it. He didn't even care about this guy. And according to the Pharisees, and also according to the apostles, that rich men were automatically going to have a place in heaven. And the apostles should have known better. But if we turn to Mark 10, verses 23 to 26, we find out that the apostles, all this time having been with Jesus, hadn't quite figured this out yet either. So 23 to 26, end of 26. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" This amazed them, but Jesus said again, "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And then the disciples were astonished. That isn't what they wanted to hear. And you'd think they would, because they didn't have a whole lot. They were with Jesus, and they went from day to day. But they were astonished. And they asked this question, "Then who in the world can be saved?" If rich people can't be saved, how can we? According to the apostles, that rich men were automatically going to a place in heaven. The problem wasn't that he was rich, but the problem was he walked past this beggar every morning, noon, and night, no matter where he went from his estate, and he didn't seem to give a hoot about this poor guy who was in such dire straits. What causes us to look the other way when we see the distress around us? Are our spiritual eyes open to seeing what's needed? And then do we do something about it? I know for me that hasn't always been the case. Do we ask our Father in heaven what he would like us to do with our wealth? As one looks around in North America today, we see that most of the general population is just not happy with the condition of society today. And other problems there are, but one of the biggest problems is that society has lost its concerning spirit for one another, just as the rich man had forgotten it. You see, how we live will determine where we spend eternity, in hell or in heaven. It's what we do here every day in our everyday lives that will determine where we are going. In Matthew 8, 11, and 12, we read that what will happen to people if they do not listen to the word of God, and you can read that on your own at home, but it's Matthew 8, 11 to 12. where are you and I going? And in Luke 6:24 and 2:27, we read what will happen if we live the right way or the wrong way here on earth. And I'd like to read that. Luke 6. That's what happens if you don't mark it, you know. Luke 6, 24 to 27. What sorrows await you who are rich, for you have your happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now, for a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now, for your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds and for their ancestors, and also praised for their ancestors, also praised the false prophets. And then verse 27, but you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who hurt you. So we are supposed to be caring for all people, and I think especially for those who are our enemies. And we should try to make them become friends with us, and especially with our Father. Although Jesus is talking to the Jewish hierarchy in this illustration, it applies this to us as well. In Acts 18, verse 5, we read that the Jewish people rejected the gospel. So Paul said, fine, if you don't want to believe, that's your problem when you arrive at the judgment seat. I will now go and tell the gospel to the Gentiles. They deserve the good news also, and many will accept the gospel as the only way to heaven. So where are we going? There's only two choices, where we will spend eternity, heaven or hell. If we, by faith and trusting in our Savior Jesus, that we live a life serving him and using wealth as he wants us to, he will bless us here. And we will have a spot in heaven reserved just for us. Or are we going to be like the Pharisees who scoffed? Where are we going? So what I'm trying to get across this morning is that the biggest riches that we have as Christians is the fact that we have a Savior who cares about us all. Rich or poor or in between. The best thing that we can do as Christians is to give freely of that gift to others. And by this I mean that we share our faith first and foremost with whoever needs it and wants it. This may mean financial giving, of course. It may mean that we give up time. And it may mean that we will have to share our faith often. And that will, and showing genuine concern for those in need. They may be rich or poor. Sometimes rich people need genuine concern more than poor people. I know of a fairly rich individual that I've known for quite some time who is always worried about how it's going to turn out, how is he going to make it, and how it's not. The only way that you can solve that problem is to trust God with it all. So don't believe you've got it made, and now because you're on easy street that you'll get to where you want to go. Where are we going? Remember, what you do here determines where you will be in eternity.